Hey, this is Pastor Eric coming to you from my office this week. Thanks for tuning in for the second virtual meditation on the Psalms. If you missed the first one, you can find it in the same place you found this one. As mentioned in the first meditation, Psalms 120 through 134 are a collection of psalms known as the Songs of Ascents. These psalms were sung and recited as Jews traveled up to Jerusalem. They ascended from different parts of Israel and even from other places outside Israel for three major Jewish festivals as commanded by God. These 15 psalms were not necessarily written for the purpose of this pilgrimage, but they became the shared psalms of the journey. While we don't know the original circumstances of each psalm's writing, the fact that each was used for this pilgrimage provides some context. Last week, I jumped ahead to Psalm 121. This week, I'll go back to the first Song of Ascents, Psalm 120. Let me start by reading the entire psalm. My reading and the slide you see are from the English Standard Version. Psalm 120. In my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. Deliver me, O Lord, from lying lips, from a deceitful tongue. What shall be given to you, and what more shall be done to you, you deceitful tongue? A warrior's sharp arrows, with glowing coals of the broom tree. Woe to me, that I sojourn in Meshech, that I dwell among the tents of Kedar. Too long have I had my dwelling among those who hate peace. I am for peace, but when I speak, they are for war. Now let's look closer at this psalm, starting with verse 1. Verse 1 says, "In my distress I called to the Lord, and he answered me." Now this verse is written in the past tense. The psalmist saying he called to the Lord in his distress, and the Lord answered his prayer. He may be recalling a time when he was distressed by his circumstances. So he called to the Lord, and the Lord answered and delivered him from his distress. The psalm expresses a soul dependence on God in the hour of distress. As Psalm 121 says, our help comes from the Lord. He is the supreme helper. So the psalmist knows from experience that God hears his call and answers him. God's people know from experience and scripture, including this psalm, that God hears the call of his people and answers them. The New International Version emphasizes this point, translating verse 1 in the present tense. The NIV says it this way, I call on the Lord in my distress, and he answers me. It's this ongoing principle. We call to the Lord, and he answers us. As God's people, we can be confident that God hears us in our distress, and he answers us. In our current coronavirus circumstances, we might be swirling in distress with physical concerns, financial concerns, social concerns, and so on. We can be confident that God hears us and he will answer us. However, as God's people, we also know that God does not always answer us how we think he should. But in Psalm 121, we saw that God is our maker, our helper, our keeper. He keeps us in the present times. He keeps us into the future, just as he has kept us in the past. Jesus promised his followers, we will have trials and tribulation in the world. But take heart, Jesus has overcome the world. In verse 2 of the psalm, the psalmist describes what he needs rescue from. Deliver me, O Lord, from lying lips, from a deceitful tongue. The lying lips and deceitful tongue the psalmist describes are not his own, but they belong to the people around him, which the rest of the psalm makes clear. In verses 3 and 4, the psalmist describes what shall be given by the Lord to the wicked who possess and make use of lying lips and a deceitful tongue. What shall be given to you? And what more shall be done to you, you deceitful tongue? A warrior's sharp arrows with glowing coals of the broom tree. Sins of speech are described as arrows elsewhere in Scripture. For example, in Proverbs 25, verse 18, a man who bears false witness against his neighbor is like a war club, or a sword, or a sharp arrow. In Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 8, their tongue is a deadly arrow. It speaks deceitfully. With his mouth, each speaks peace to his neighbor, but in his heart, he plans an ambush for him. The theme of peace will come up later in Psalm 120, verses 6 and 7. The sinful speech is also described as an arrow in Psalm 64, verse 3. It says, the wicked who whet their tongues like swords, who aim bitter words like arrows. But in verses 7 and following, God shoots arrows back at the wicked. It says in verse 7, but God shoots his arrow at them. They are wounded suddenly. They are brought to ruin, with their own tongues turned against them. All who see them will wag their heads. Then all mankind fears. They tell what God has brought about and ponder what he has done. Let the righteous one rejoice in the Lord and take refuge in him. Let all the upright in heart exult. Now the broom trees of Israel that are mentioned in verse 4 of Psalm 120 were known for the fine charcoal they yielded when they were burned. And burning coals from the Lord is a repeated request of the righteous on the wicked in the Psalms. For example, we see in Psalm 11, verse 6, let him rain coals on the wicked. Fire and sulfur and a scorching wind shall be the portion of their cup. The psalmist in 120 is asking God that his enemies will get what they deserve, that they will eat their words. Yet the psalmist knows that vengeance is not for him to pursue, but belongs to the Lord. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 35. In the New Testament, the Apostle Paul instructs believers in this manner in Romans 12, quoting Deuteronomy 32. In verse 17, he begins to write, and he says, repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. That's the quote from Deuteronomy 32. Verse 20 says, to the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. The burning coals in Romans 12 is similar to the fine charcoal of the broom trees in Psalm 120. And then verse 21 says, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. The psalmist in Psalm 120 has either seen God's judgment and acted against his enemies, or knows it is coming at some point. Verses 5 through 7 reveal who these wicked enemies of the psalmist are and more of what they say. The psalmist writes, woe to me that I sojourn in Meshech, that I dwell among the tents of Kedar. Too long have I had my dwelling among those who hate peace. I am for peace, but when I speak, they are for war. Meshech was a territory to the far north of Israel, and Kedar was a group of people who lived in the southeast of Israel. Given that these two areas are separated significantly geographically, it is unlikely that the psalmist actually lived in these two areas. More likely, the psalmist is using these territories and people to represent pagans who are opposed to God and his people. The psalmist is lamenting that he lives among pagans who act like pagans, opposing God and his people. Woe to me, in verse 5, is an expression of misery. The psalmist feels like a foreigner, an alien who doesn't belong where he lives. Now notice the contrast between these pagans in Psalm 120 and God's people in Psalm 119, which is a psalm of 176 verses about the greatness of God's word and law. Verse 165 says, great peace have those who love your law. Nothing can make them stumble. These pagans have lying lips and deceitful tongues. They hate peace and love war. They have nothing in common with the godly and make life difficult for the godly. The psalmist longs to be around others who worship the Lord and live righteous lives. Now, keeping the context of the pilgrimage to Jerusalem in mind, this psalm makes perfect sense as a song of ascents. It was sung and recited while people were going to Jerusalem to worship the Lord. In our current coronavirus circumstances, we too long to be together and worship the Lord. We're waiting for the green light to gather again. But in the meantime, we try and stay connected as we are able. Now, I'm not implying any evil conspiracy against the church during this time. And one might argue that divisive wars of words have diminished recently while the nation battles the coronavirus. So, as believers, as God's people, how should we respond when we encounter pagans who oppose God and his people? Now, I realize that pagan sounds harsh, but I use that word to describe people opposed to God. Reality is a person is either for God, a believer, a follower, or against God, a pagan. Now, I don't recommend believers walking around calling everyone pagans. And if you're not a believer, if you're not a follower of Jesus, I encourage you to be reconciled to God through faith in Jesus. So how do we respond as believers to those who oppose God and his people that we live around? Well, let's go back to Romans chapter 12, which we've already looked at, and this time verses 14 and 15. Paul writes, "Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep." Paul instructs us to bless and not curse, to celebrate victories with others, to mourn losses with others, both believers and unbelievers. And then we jump down to verse 17, which we read previously. "Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all." We are to do what is right, no matter the cost. Paul says in verse 18, "If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all." Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Now, in these times, you might literally be able to feed someone or give them a drink. Or perhaps more figuratively, you might need to find a way to serve someone in some way. And opportunities are out there right now in these times. And then verse 21, Paul says, "Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." As believers, we can follow the example of Jesus as we see how he treated those people that opposed him. The Apostle Peter writes these words about Jesus in 1 Peter chapter 2. Verse 24 says, "He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds, you have been healed." Now talk about heaping burning coals on someone's head. Jesus overcame evil with good, bearing our sin on the cross, the sin of his enemies. Jesus was a man of peace in a culture of war. And we are called to follow his example. Peter exhorts Jesus' followers to do likewise. In verse 12 of the same chapter, Peter writes, "Keep your conduct among the Gentiles, pagans, those opposed to God, keep your conduct honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers," and Peter assumes that this will happen, that pagans will speak evil against those who follow God. But we're to conduct ourselves in honorable ways that they may see our good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation. Following the example of Jesus. And so as we reflect on Psalm 120, let us remember, the Lord hears us in our distress, and he answers us, although not always in the way we think he should, but according to his will. Vengeance and judgment belong to the Lord. He will repay his enemies in his time. The Lord calls his people to bless those who persecute us, to do what is honorable, to do what is right, no matter the cost, to live peaceably with everyone, overcoming evil with good as we follow the example of Jesus, showing pagans, unbelievers, those opposed to God, our good deeds, that they may glorify God on the day he visits, when Jesus returns. I pray that this psalm will be a blessing to you this week. And as a reminder, if you need prayer or any type of assistance, please contact me. As we long to gather together again, or until Jesus returns, the Lord be with you. Amen.